All right. It's been a while since we've been together on this line. I know it seems like there's a lot of difficulties in unmuting the phones, and so we'll probably have more on the line than we heard about, heard from. But anyway, for a few moments this morning, I don't know how long I'm going to talk, but I want to deal with rediscovering the apostolic church. You might make a note of that, rediscovering the apostolic church. To do that, we must understand that we are living in a past tense fact, which is a present tense fact, which is a future tense fact. And the best way to get as a feedback, best way to get a description of this is knowing that the book of Ephesians is a past tense book. Everything has already happened. When you read the book of Ephesians, when you look at the first chapter, the third verse, where it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. From that on, Father, the fourth verse, the fifth verse, on through the sixth chapter, is talking about things that has already happened. I think to bring our churches to a point of view of the authority that we have already in Christ, our prayer life will change because we'll stop asking God to do things that he has already done. Instead of doing that, we can go to God in prayer and thanking him that has already done. So it's based on the scripture in Matthew, whatsoever you bind on earth, I bind in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth, I loose in heaven. So the apostolic church, we have to get back to that understanding that we are not a begging church, but we are a church that that is in authority. So I want to go through some things. There are seven pictures that Paul points out in the book of Ephesians about the church. We need to go through each one of them one by one. I'm going to go through one this morning. The church is called the Assembly. It has a definite, powerful revelation in the fact of knowing the church is the assembly. For instance, in Hebrews 10:25, it said, forsake not the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is. It does not mean coming together in a building. It actually means coming together in legal authority to rule and reign in the earth realm on God's behalf. So what we have to do is to bring our people to an apostolic church, a New Testament church understanding, we have to expose them to the revelation that everything is already done. When Jesus said it was finished on the cross, he finished everything. Say, for instance, I think it's 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, in him he had been made to us righteous, wisdom, righteousness, redemption, and sanctification. That's already done. So all we have to do is claim that if we are in the body of Christ, that's already ours. If we're in the assembly, that's already ours. Now, here's a problem. Here's a problem that none of us probably want to face. But we need to face it in order to get the authority, the legal authority back that is really ours. Is that some people join the assembly or join the membership, but they're really not born again. Now, as ministers, we're talking here. I think the solution for that is when you get somebody to the altar to get saved, have everybody to pray. Or I'm thinking about just having my congregation pray to make sure everybody is saved, because if you're not saved, you can't look into the mirror. Now, I'm talking about looking into the mirror on Sunday morning. I don't know how long I'm going to go on that. But actually, there's two mirrors. You know, the natural mirror, and then there's the spiritual mirror. You can't look in the spiritual mirror unless you're spiritually born again. Now, let's look at this rediscovering this apostolic. Why do we got to say rediscovering? Because it had been lost, this apostolic church. So let's begin by, let's see what we can learn by looking in this mirror. What we are lacking God's sight as his collective people. What we are lacking God's sight as his collective people. So we examine seven pictures of God's people that is revealed by the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians. We're going to deal with one today. The first one is, and I'll give you the scripture to go with it, Ephesians 1:22, the assembly. Number two, Ephesians 1:23, the body of Christ. Number three, Ephesians 2:10, the workmanship, that's God's masterpiece. We're going to go over each one of these in days to come. Number four, Ephesians 2:19, the family, is the household of God. Number five, Ephesians 2:21, the temple, which is the building. Number six, Ephesians 5:25 to 27, the bride, the wife, the bride of Christ. And then number seven, Ephesians 6:10 to 13, is the army, the soldier. That's the seven pictures of the apostolic church that we have to go over one by one. I'm going over one today, the symbol, but I'm going to tell you a few more things. In knowing that, there are four things we have to explore to come back in group with the apostolic church. Structure. Got to get the structure right. We've got to get the structure out of worldly strategy, out of denominational setting, back into what the Holy Spirit desires for our churches and our ministry to be. The second thing, after structure, once we get the structure right, then the leadership can begin to function governmental as she should. Is the structure not right? We don't understand the structure. How this baby made up spiritually, and how to look into that mirror Jan talked about, and Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians about the spirit of liberty and the glass of glory. That's the mirror of glory. We can't train our people how to look in the mirror through the eyes of faith and see things that are not seen naturally. We're going to have a problem of getting our church to grow into the body that God wants to be. So it's structure, number one. Number two, then leadership can fall into it. Now, the reason that we have some problem in leadership is because the structure is not right. In other words, I mentioned a few minutes ago, people join the assembly or join the membership in which they can't without being born into the membership or born into the assembly. The third thing, then, the apostolic church can bring to pass is lifestyle. See, if the structure right, if the leadership right, then the lifestyle can be right. Now, and the fourth thing is the future of the church. Now, let me talk on this a minute, because I see so much in this for myself in the last couple of months. Structure, leadership, lifestyle, future of the church. I believe they're in chronological order. I believe the structure not in order, the leadership can't be in order. And I believe the leadership not in order, the lifestyle can't be in order. And I believe the lifestyle is not in order, the future of the church cannot be in order. So see that, see that. See that. To rediscover the apostolic church, we're going to have to break some rules. And when I say break rules, break these normal patterns that the church been going through to get our people in a position. But they are powerful enough not to ask God for something he already has done, but to be bold enough and have enough faith to look into the mirror of the word and see it and say, thank you, Father. I know you already have delivered me from the power of darkness and translated. I know you already have healed me. I know you already have led me into prosperity. I know I already have victory. And so we get our membership or the assembly to begin to operate in the divine authority that God wants to have, then we'll be able to, as leaders, if we have the structure right, we'll be able to give the right instruction. And then there'll be the right lifestyle. Then there'll be the right future of the church. Now, it might sound elementary, but we got a mess going on at large, at large. I'm not saying particularly your church, but all our church got some of it in it. And we always got to be looking for these four things: structure, the leadership, the lifestyle, and it will make the future of the church come out right. So now, when we talk about the assembly of Jesus Christ, what are the procedures for admission to the assembly of Jesus Christ? Number one, you find it in Matthew 16 where Peter had that revelation. I'm just going to give you four things here that has to take place for a person to be bona fide, qualified, to fit in the structure right, to fit under your leadership right, to have the right lifestyle. The first thing was pointed out that Peter had a confrontation one-on-one with nobody between him and Jesus. From that confrontation, he had a revelation that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. Then he acknowledged it, and then he made a confession of it. And that's the way everybody has to enter into the assembly with a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. So beautiful yesterday, I said that this week I told my congregation, the Lord told me to tell them they're going to be flooded with favor. Two men come on my front porch at my home, and I was sitting in my study, and I could see out the window when somebody come into the house. And I went to walk out there, and easily, swiftly, got them both born again. And then another man came on my porch later on that afternoon, easily, swiftly, got him born again. Just walking through this where you encounter Christ. And then my wife and I went to some business with another woman, all in one day. Got born again easily and swiftly. And so I texted my congregation. That was a flood of favor. See, flood of favor, I thought it was houses, land. No, that was favor God gave me to do my assignment on earth. And when I do my assignment on earth, the blessing follows. It's just a little side journey. All right, now, so we have to make sure that our people have had this direct confrontation. Peter met Jesus face to face. Then the revelation is granted by God through the Holy Spirit. Without revelation, Peter could not have known who Jesus is. Then, acknowledgement of the revelation. Peter acknowledged the revelation when he responded to Christ's question, and Christ asked him, "Who do men say I am?" The number four, there's a confession of the revelation. Peter confessed out loud, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So the first thing you want to see of the assembly in the scripture, the power is regularly used for the assembly of God's people when they meet in divine order in Zion. So the structure, I'll go back up, the structure, the leadership, what the third one was, lifestyle, and the church future is based on the fact that everybody have had a proper confrontation that no religious spirit can see in the mirror of God's word. You might want to write this scripture down. In the scripture, the title, I'll give you the scripture in a minute. In the scripture, the title that is regularly used for the assembly of God people when they meet in divine order is Zion. Zion. And the question is asked, what does the scripture say about Zion? Our relationship to Zion as believers. And then it has Hebrews 12:22-24, in which I may have talked to you a little bit about it. I know some of the membership had been dealing with certain things, and I point them to this verse, which in my past study, I found out this is the court of heaven, and that Zion, the church, is connected with the court of heaven. And so back to the scripture, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Someone may say, man, this is elementary. Man, this is what we have not been doing to get the right effect. That which looked like elementary is really the power. And I think maybe we've been trying to go in too much deep stuff and left the real stuff out. That we can have power as leaders, and our membership or the people we minister to can have power to follow us. And you read this, but in that Hebrews 12:22-24, it's worth reading because you'll see who we're dealing with. Now, here's what, when you talk about Hebrews 12:22-24, we're not dealing with a future event. That's very important to know that we're not dealing with a future event. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. The scripture does not say you're soon going to come. He said that you're already come. not physically at gold, but spiritually. We are already part of the total, listen to this, government assembly of God. Because we're going to find out later on, assembly means legal authority, legal governmental authority. And we're not going to have that if we don't go through the things that I talked about earlier, making sure that they've had the confrontation, they made the confession, etc. So there's a wisdom, my brothers and sisters, my sons and daughters, a wisdom that the Father, through the Holy Spirit, has to give us for this transition we're making to an apostolic church. What is the church? What is the book of Acts? What is the New Testament church? To function in the same power and get the same results. We're getting some results. Thank God for that. But think about Sunday after Sunday or day after day, we're getting the same result, not haphazardly hitting it every now and then. And so we have to structuralize our people to understand who they are, and then we lead them by who they are. And then their lifestyle of sanctification, holiness, and set apart to God, clean and pure, will be an everyday walk for them. And this all is possible because God already has done this. When you read the book of Ephesians, all of that is already set in play. Adoption, the blood of Jesus, all of it is already set in play. And I think we got to come back to the basic in order to have a powerful LTMA, to be powerful, our churches, our ministry, our personal lives, our lifestyle, our leadership, to be powerful as God wanted to be. So the main thing is, when you're looking into the mirror of God's Word, New Testament wise, you're looking at things that already have been done. That's why it was shocking to me in the years back when I found out that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John was really not the New Testament church. I mean, I had to deal with that. I've been preaching many years. But now I understand it, because it only started after the cross, because that's when it was all paid for. That's when we bought with the Christ. That's when we were able to be birthed into the family of God as the New Testament church, as the workmanship of God, as the assembly, as the bride, as the family, as the temple, and as the army. Each part plays a major part. Now, we can snap all these pictures before our people, and they can see all seven aspects of the church. Then we're bringing our local ministry into a structure that will stand out and that will start producing and that will start having manifestation, that will start having demonstration, that will be an attraction to our cities, counties, or parishes, or where we are, to draw people into a place where we can train them and teach them and send them out. So it's a spiritual, not physical. So spiritually, we're already a part of the total government assembly of God. Now, in when that scripture in Hebrews 12 we just looked at, included in that assembly are thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly and ready to go. Now, in the NIV, it says it is a supremely dignified, glorious assembly. So listen to this. Through our faith in Jesus, we are part of the great governmental assembly that governs the entire universe. Now, see, we've been misplaced. We've let politicians, we've almost let politicians come in our churches and take our pulpit, looking up to them so much. They're supposed to be looking up to us because we over politicians. Listen to this statement again. Through our faith in Jesus, understanding that everything is already done, apostolically, we are part of the great governmental assembly that governs the entire universe. Back to that major scripture, Jesus said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. So the activation starts from earth. We have to know that through authority, to look in the mirror, through knowing our spiritual makeup, that we are the righteousness of God, we are the wisdom of God, we are the sanctification of God, we have blood-bought rights, we can use the blood to change anything. We know the head of the assembly, under God the Father, Jesus Christ. Now, Mark chapter 12, verse 35 through 37, give us a picture of this. This refers to a statement of the Father said to the Son after Jesus' death and resurrection, when he ascended and taken his place at the Father's right hand. And he's talking about all authority. And then given to Jesus until God make all his enemy his footstool. You know, in Psalm 110, compare Psalm 110, 1 and 2 in the Old Testament with Mark 12, 35, and 37 in the New Testament. And what you will see the same thing is rule in the midst of your enemy. So what happened? In verse 2, Psalm 110, we see that God, the Holy Spirit, stretches forth the scepter of Christ's authority from Zion. The assembly of his people and tell them, rule in the midst of your enemy. Now, why this? Listen to this. Sometimes, and we've got to get our people to see this now, sometimes we are so conscious of the enemies that we forget that Christ is already ruling. See, we have to be aware of that. Now, we know all his enemy has not been subdued under his feet yet, but he's ruling supreme in the midst of his enemy right now through us. See, all the enemy is not under his feet, but through us, who is walking in the blood, walking by faith, walking in the revelation that 2,000 years ago on Calvary, everything was paid for, everything was done. We have to enforce it by looking in the mirror of God's word, getting the revelation out of that word, and putting it into practice by our confession, by our anointing, and by our right to rule in the earth realm. So the Holy Spirit extends the scepter of Christ's authority over the nation, kings, and rulers of this earth. See, that's the apostolic church. We have to know the dominion, the authority, the rulership that our congregations have to know. And the people, your evangelists, the people when you there, the people have to know their authority, the scepter that the Holy Spirit is now working with us with to rule and reign as an apostolic church. Because listen, brothers and sisters, only what they do for Christ is going to last. So no matter what technicality they come up with, or technology they come up with, or what improvement is made in the system, it doesn't matter. We have to know that we have the most important job that ever existed. And the only job going to last throughout eternity. Everything else going to burn. We have to understand. We have to understand how important it is for us to pray and prepare ourselves and consecrate ourselves to the Lord not let Satan use us for nothing else. But the consecration, sanctification, set apart for God use on it. That's what I want for LTMA. You know, I'm almost through today. But I want LTMA to know that we are an assembly. Number one, the first picture. That we are the legal authority of God in the earth realm. And that through the name of Jesus, through looking in the mirror, getting direction and instruction from the word of God, the scepter of righteousness, the rod of righteousness, the staff of righteousness is in our hand. You know, we can go through a lot of accolades as your leader, as your apostle, and we can try to go through a lot of deep stuff. But the problem is the man stuff been left out. The ingredient has been left out of the real apostolic church. So that's why we have not seen the manifestation and demonstration like Peter and John going to the temple to pray. And it says, such as I have, I give thee, rise up, walk. We've seen some, but we're going to see more. In just a few more minutes, I want to point out a few more things to you. We see that God the Holy Spirit stretches forth the scepter of Christ's authority from Zion, the assembly of his people, and tell them, rule in the midst of the enemy. I say sometimes we're so conscious of the enemy that we forget that Christ is already ruling. So if Christ is already ruling, that means we already ruled. He has put the enemy on his feet. But he's ruling supreme in the midst of his enemy right now through us. So the Holy Spirit extends the scepter of Christ's authority over the nation, king, and rulers of this earth. And he does this out of the assembly of God's people who are met in divine order through prayer, the ministry of the word, and the gifts of the Spirit. Jesus rules out of Zion, which is the picture of God's people. There they are, meeting in divine assembly, divine order, and divine authority. We have to, some way, through our gifts from the Lord, our calling from the Lord, is to get the assembly meeting as a divine assembly, meeting in divine order, meeting in divine authority. Now, hear what God the Father said to God the Son. All authority is yours. From now on, you're ruler. But his rule is exercised by the Spirit out of Zion, the assembly of God's people. Let me go through this because I need to get through this. We are that rod stretched forth in the Lord's hand, representing his authority in whatever sphere we operate. Most Christians accept the fact that Jesus is going to rule someday. But it's vital to know that he is ruling right now. We've got to get that in our people. Why? How? Through our prayer, intercession, fasting, through our proclamation of the gospel, our committed lifestyle, we are being utilized by Christ to rule in the midst of his enemy. Listen, Christians are like the rod of Moses in the story of Israel. They were from Egypt. The rod is a symbol of authority. The final deliverance of God's people could not take place before Moses learned to use his rod. Now, that's touching for me and for you, that we have to learn how to use that rod of authority. Not authority over God's people, but showing God's people how to take authority over the enemy. We've got to have authority among them. But I think sometimes we enforce authority over them so much and don't show them how to walk in authority over the enemy. The enemy loves that. But I'm one who have done that. But I'm real strong in my pastorship. So let me try to get through this. How long have I been going, my dear? By what? Oh, my. Likewise, the completion of the destiny of God's people will not take place until we learn, you listen, to use the rod to function in a unified way, a unified governmental way as assembly, the governing body of Christ, not in the age to come, but now. I'm going to give you a scripture. Matthew 18:20. I've just recorded it all the while this afternoon, or this morning. In this passage, that the initiative is not with heaven, but with earth. When we agree on earth, heaven does the work. When we bind and loose on earth, it's bound and loose in heaven. Our agreeing and binding and loosing are made effective as we gather together in a unified assembly. Whatever you bind, I bind. Whatever you loose, I loose. If you agree, I'll do it. But yes, God has placed the responsibility from the apostolic church, which governs it, on us, the assembly. He says, you make the decrees, and I'll enforce them. You make the decision, and I'll see that it carried out. Wow. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 through 13, talks about gifting. Whether our gifts of speaking, serving, teaching, or anything else, spiritual authority can operate only by voluntary recognition. It cannot be imposed, it must be submitted to. Now, we're back all the way to the front of this lesson. If our people are not properly exposed to coming into the assembly right, here we're going to have a problem. A spiritual authority can operate only by voluntary recognition. And if that person is not capable, it cannot be imposed. It must be submitted to. Without submission, there's no spiritual authority. The work of those in spiritual authority is to accomplish, to admonish the believer, straighten them out, correct them, tell them what they're doing wrong, and it takes a true friend to do that. There's nothing more sobering than having somebody tell you, I accept your authority. People look to me for leadership, place a tremendous and very solemn responsibility on me because they accept my authority. So, yes, I want to challenge you to a more serious commitment to the church. And you're going to have to challenge your member that you want to have a more serious commitment to the to church. Now, when you explain these things we're talking about, they won't have no problem. No one could ever act casually and without discipline in a legal setting such as a courtroom. And yet many Christians do so in the church, which is a higher court than any usher assembly. They attend church consistently and punctually, dress appropriately, serve in some capacity, and appreciate the fact that you are part of an important seat of dignity of the church, of an important institution. Give the assembly your very best in attitude and service. So let me summarize this. Make a summary of this. In rediscovering the apostolic New Testament church, in which LTMA is aiming to do, we don't have many patterns to go by. We go by the book of Acts and this book of Ephesians. If you read that book in a past tense thing, all the things you read in Ephesians is already done. I think you're going to begin to change your life, change your lifestyle, change your ministry, change the people you minister to. We have to take this thing step by step. I give you those 7 pitches. We went over 1 today, the assembly. Our next meeting, we'll probably go over 1 more. Just talk about it. I'm going to be feeding on it and readjusting things as I go. But that's a wrap for today. Just think about those things. Now, I made the statement to the church that I'm not going to be teaching on herb and what they eat and all that stuff anymore. I went too far with it. I had to back out. The Lord got on me about it. The herb, I still take my herb. You still need to watch what you eat and take care of your body. But you got to do that yourself. Just don't take everything the doctor in the hospital tell you without praying and checking with the Lord first to get direction from the Lord. The Lord will take care of us. He promised to heal our body, manifest supernatural things in our body. Just because you attack or some of your members attack, that doesn't mean you've done something wrong or that you're out of order. That just means it's the devil's still alive. Just stand in faith, stand in the blood, and stand your ground. I believe the leaders need to check on the roll call to make sure that they don't start dropping off. The woman will be on the line. If I just say one thing to help you while I'm talking, that one thing would be a blessing. But remember, we're rediscovering the apostolic church, which is God's church. We want to do that. We want to get back in that format for the structure, the leadership, the lifestyle, and the future of the church can be in good hands. God bless you. Let's pray. We haven't been together a long time. Father, may you richly bless each one under the sound of my voice with the blessing that you already bestowed upon them. We thank you for blessing every minister, every ministry, every church that is under our care. Holy Spirit, you know, in the name of Jesus, we're aiming to go back into the New Testament church and to the apostolic church. And so we need you to guide and direct us as we do these things so our congregation can have the best, the people who we minister to can have the best, and these ministers that under the sound of my voice you called and given different vision in different states and different cities. We just thank you right now, Father. And Father, as ministers of the gospel, We pray for President Trump, Vice President Pence, all the staff. We don't know everything, but we just pray that your government is over all government. What is not of you will be shut down and turn around. Anything that brings glory to you is what you're going to back up. And because we're the government of the kingdom down here, we say nothing is going to completely go on without your instruction. We know that nothing can get out of hand. When we stand, you say, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from that wicked way, I will hear from heaven and I will heal that land. We are thankful that we're in a place that we can pray. We have freedom to pray. We have freedom together on this line, together from different states, different backgrounds, that we are one. We thank you. I ask you to bless. If any one of these ministers need healing in their body, let that healing flow. Their finances, let their finances flow. In their ministry, let their ministries grow and be productive. Father, is there any way that any load or pressure on either one of them under the sound of my voice, as their apostle and in the authority of the name of Jesus, I command it to lift, and I command them to see exactly what they need to do. I praise you for it. In Jesus' name, until we meet again, amen.